in heaven. Therefore, Christ said, therefore I said to thee that thou art Peter. And upon this, rock, upon this truth that you have just spoken, I will build my church. That's the promise. That's the promise. Jesus the Christ that was there when God said, let us make man. He didn't come along later. He said, let us make man. Jesus the Christ, Mary's baby, if you will. The one whom said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Am I right about it? Jesus the Christ that was there protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Am I right about it? You remember the king looked down and said, did not we put three in the furnace? But there are four down there now. And one of them looked like the Son of God. Christ was there from the beginning. Am I right about it? See, Jesus is the Christ. The one in which John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taking away the sins of the world. Jesus the Christ. Peter's, thou art the Christ. Jesus the Christ, our leaning post. Jesus the Christ, who is our bridge over troubled waters. Says here, upon this true confession, that I am the only begotten Son of God, and I will build my church. Upon this rock, this truth that Peter said, thou art the Christ, I'm going to build my church. I can't trust this saving gospel to anyone else. I'm going to build my church. I can't leave it to somebody else. I'm going to build my church. I can't subtract the building of the church to someone else. I can't trust them to do it like God wants it done. I gotta do it. If I let Peter subcontract the church, he'll deny it when he gets in a tight. I can't let Thomas build the church because he'll doubt if he can do it. I can't let Judas build the church because he'll sell it. I can't let the Pharisees build the church because they are compromising. Am I right about it? Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. It's in the future. And after I die, after I'm buried and rise again the third day, my church is going to be built. Is that all right? In the book of Mark, chapter 9 and verse number 1, here Jesus says, and he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God and see it come with power. Jesus said that the kingdom would come with power. Now, if I can find the power and what that power is, I can see the kingdom come. He just said, some that are standing here going to see the kingdom come. If it hadn't already come, you're talking about some over 3,000-year-old men and women walking around here somewhere. Yeah. I'm right about it. Let me see, can I find the power? I can find the power, I can find the kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. In Acts chapter 1, I'm again at verse number 4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not part from Jerusalem. Yeah. Y'all stand with me. Yeah. I told you it's going to start in Jerusalem. Yeah. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence or from now. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but the Father had put in his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem one and then in all of Judea, and all of Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So therefore, I read on to Acts chapter 2. If I can find the power, I can find the kingdom. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the first day of Pentecost after the death of Christ, that Peter stood up and Peter preached the first gospel sermon. In fact, and some 3,000 obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. After Peter had preached, they asked the question that all that will be the children of God had to know. What must I do to be saved? They asked Peter and other disciples, what must I do to be saved? Not what must I see, but what must I do? Y'all ain't gonna help me. Not what I must feel, but what I must do. Not what I must tell, but what I must do. There's something to do in order to become a child of the living God. In Acts 2 and verse number 38, the Bible said that Peter said unto them, repent. That's what you got to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent leads to a change of heart. Repent leads to a change of condition. Then you ought to be baptized. Let nobody tell you that baptism does not save. Don't let nobody ever, nowhere, at no time tell you that baptism does not save. Baptism is a part of God's plan that you might become a child of God. People are coming down the aisle need to know what they are coming and what they are obeying. If one is going to obey the gospel, they need to know how Christ died, first of all. They need to know how he was buried, and they need to know he rose on the third day with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through verse number 4. One has to be willing to believe that Christ died for you. They were buried for you, and he rose that third day morning. In Acts chapter 15 and verse number 7, the Bible says, when there had been much disputing. I know folks are yonder to argue about things, but the Bible says, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of God and believe it. One must repent of their sins. Acts 17 and verse number 30. And at times of ignorance, God winked, but it commanded all men everywhere to repent. One must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Romans 10, verse 9 and verse number 10, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe with thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One must be baptized in water because baptism saves. The Bible said in 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse number 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, not taking the bath, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. This world needs to know that baptism does three things. First of all, it washes away sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, the world has changed that. They said, call on the Lord in prayer first. And at the end of that prayer, they said, now you are saved. And then you get baptized if you want to. But that's not what the Bible teaches. the Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. Then you can call on the Lord. Am I right about it? Baptism gives one a relationship with Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and verse number 27, the Bible says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not in Christ. I don't care how good you are. You got to be baptized into Christ. Then that puts one into the one church that Christ Jesus died for. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. It teaches us, for by one Spirit are y'all baptized into one body. Not 300. Baptized into one body. Whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, and have been already made to drink into that one Spirit. It is important that we do this, because the false religions are not coming up with their own plan of salvation after watching and hearing us give a plan. But you got to make sure the plan you are given is the one that God sent you. Am I right about it? We must teach that baptism puts one into the church of Christ. If we don't do it, we will have those who think after they've been baptized, they can worship anywhere they want to. But baptism, when you're taught right and baptized right, you are put into the one church that Christ said, upon this rock, I will build. The Bible teaches in Acts 2 and verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all of the people. The Bible says, and the Lord added, y'all hear what I said? And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. You cannot join the church. Ain't nobody can vote you in the church. They can't vote you in, and they can't vote you out. The Bible said that Christ died for us, built one church, and once you are baptized into Christ, the Bible says, and God added to the church the such as should be saved. And the such as that should be saved are those who heard the word of God, who believed what they heard, who repented of their sin, who made that confession that Jesus was the Christ, and were baptized in water to have their sins washed away. Those are the such as. Nobody can vote you in, and they sure enough can't vote you out. Say amen when you can. You might not like me. You might get together and have a meeting, but you can't vote me out. You might get a majority to go along with it, but you can't vote me out. That's right. God put me in, and only God can put me out. That's right. All right. Let me try to close this. Then last point tonight. Then that is the perfection of the church. The perfection of the church. The church is all about helping people. Sin is destroying mankind. You see it every morning when you wake up. We sometimes want to turn on the news and find something good. Ain't nothing good going on. Many times it happens after midnight. My mother said, don't nothing go on good after midnight. But there are a lot of bad things. And what this world, sin is destroying mankind. Am I right about it? God sent his son to save his people from their sins. In the church, we believe that everyone we meet has some hurts, they have some habits, and they have some hang-ups. Everybody you meet have those. And listen, some people's habits don't go away overnight. The strong are the better infirmities of the weak. That is therapeutic help that you can find in the Word of God. We all need to continue to believe in Psalms 107 and verse number 20, where the Bible says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His Word that all of us might be healed. There's healing power in the Word of God. If tonight you have some habits, you have some hurts, and you have some hang-ups, the Word of God can heal you. God can help you overcome the devil. God, he's a worthy opponent. You can't fight him by yourself. You need God on your side to fight off the wiles of the devil. We Christians are on a serious journey tonight. We are going somewhere. Y'all say amen. It's not our home. We are just here passing through. We are just here for a little while. We are on our way to somewhere. Somewhere where Jesus is. Just a little while here. And after this, we are over there forever and ever. Sometimes it seems a bit frightening to read in those last chapters of the book of Revelations, the books which will be opened on the day of judgment. It might not frighten y'all, but it can be a frightening thing to read what the Bible says, and the books shall be opened. And another book shall be opened. It can be frightening if you don't understand what he's talking about. It's sure enough frightening if you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Am I right about it? Our destiny tonight will depend upon whether we have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21 and 27. Not on the church roll, not when you got baptized, but is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it's not there, heaven will never be your home. Am I right about it? No one will enter into heaven except those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It need not be frightening, however, for is it within our power to accept God's grace and to be certain that our names are written therein, that Lamb's Book of Life? It's up to us whether our names are written there or not. As Christians, it is a wonderful thing to contemplate eternity. That is why I'm so glad tonight to be a Christian. Glad to be a member of the Lord's church. For it is in Him that we are saved through Jesus Christ. It's important to know that any government, that any business, that any home or anything else on earth, the grandest place to be is in the Lord's church. When you give yourself to Christ in obedient faith, you become a part of that church that Christ promised to build. Not this building, but the members of the body of Christ. As we give ourselves to live for Him and give ourselves to work for Him in His church now, not John the Baptist. Now listen, the Church of Christ was established in AD 33. Baptist Church was established in 606. They came too late. That's the wrong time, wrong place. The church started at Jerusalem in AD 33. Anything that came after that is wrong. And if you don't want to believe your Bible, you can go to your library and look it up. You'll find that the Church of Christ was first. Y'all look at me real funny. You ain't never did that? Go and check it. Only church that Christ died for. All of the rest came later. But if you want to go to heaven, you got to be in the one that Jesus died for. Let me close. When you give your life to Christ, in obedient faith, you become a part of his church. As we give ourselves to Christ, to live for him and work for him in his church, we are making sure that someday, we shall see him in eternity. We enter his church in this life, and beyond the river of death, we continue to be the church or of the family of God forever. Now listen, Jesus said a long, long time ago, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My dying are not going to prevent it from coming. I'm going to get up from the grave, and I'm going to build my church. It's his. It's not spoken in a plurality. It's spoken as one. Because the babe back in Isaiah 2, he said, and all of them shall come unto it, meaning but one. Are you a member of that one church? Can you find your church in the Bible? I can find mine. Can you find yours? If you can find yours in the Bible, there again, I eat that Bible page by page without even adding salt or pepper to it. If you can find yours in the Bible, if you can't find in the Bible, you're in a church that can't save you. And if I were you, I'd get out of it. Y'all got quiet in here. I would get out of it. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming to get his church. And he's looking for a church to find a church without spot or wrinkle. And I want to be in the right church. I want to be in the church that Christ died for. And you all want to be there too. So if you are here tonight, you've heard the lesson. You've understood that Jesus didn't build but one church. Because he was the one that said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That are right. So if you want to go to heaven, I will be a member of the church that Jesus Christ shed his blood for. The one he purchased with his own blood. So that's my prayer tonight. I'm trying to persuade you to come out of life of sin and be a member of the Lord's church. Therefore, then you can work out your soul salvation. The Bible's in Acts 2 and verse 41 and 41, believe it said, and they received the word, they were glad to receive his word, were baptized. Are you glad to receive the word of God and the truth that we're given tonight by scripture? You ought to come to him tonight. You come and hearing the word, believing it, repenting of it, of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, being baptized in water, they have your sins washed away. It is my prayer tonight that you come right now, and we all together stand to sing the song that has been given for the invitation. Why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. Before we sing them, listen. I know how the devil gets on your shoulder, right behind your ear, and say, "Don't, not tonight. Put it off a little bit longer." You know you don't understand all you need to know. On the day of Pentecost, they heard one gospel sermon. They understood it then and realized they were in sin. That's all they need to hear. And then you can add the rest. You teach the second lesson later. But tonight, you need to be saved tonight. You need to become a member of the body of Christ tonight. Because tomorrow is not promised to us. All we have is right now. All we have is right now. So I encourage you, I urge you to put on Jesus Christ in baptism tonight. You can go on your way home. Rejoice. But you can be saved tonight. If you're willing to give your life to Christ, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Won't you come as we continue to sing? Won't you come? Somebody's knocking at your door. And knock. Why don't you come tonight?
We have one precious soul standing tonight.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I ask for your prayers for my family. My sister was admitted back in the hospital today. And also I ask.